what I've called this exhortation is the silver lining. And that's the silver lining to what we've been subjected to, my body's been subjected to, and so on, over the last 3 months now. I can't remember a great deal of the early incidents of my sojourn in hospital, particularly from the time of anaesthetic onwards. One's memory is a bit befuddled. I can remember once thinking I was awake and not sure whether I was awake or not, or whether I was dreaming. The incidents that seemed to be going on around me seemed to be part of what was going on in the world, but were they really? I never quite understood or settled that thought process which was going through my mind. Thinking about Anith had been Anith knocked out for, I don't know, how long was I unconscious? 12 hours? More, at least. I was much helped at the start by a very competent and caring anaesthetist who explained all that was going to be going on, and that she would be there watching over me, as it were, to see that nothing untoward was going to happen to me. And that was very encouraging, and it seemed a little bit like she was my guardian angel for those hours that I was going to be in her care. And it made me think, well, are we not looking after one another? We've been talking, and we've all been doing what we can to be our guardian angels to them, to encourage them that the Lord is still with them despite the problems that they're going through. During this process, one particular verse kept popping into my mind, and that's the verse from Corinthians 15. If in this life only you have hope, you are of all men, you are of all men most miserable. This would follow thoughts like, you know, why should these people be doing their best in their care for me to extend my life, when by the grace of the Lord, one day, we know later on, we read in that same chapter, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This corruption will put on incorruption, this mortality, immortality. So, that's there. And we know, of course, in the ultimate, our Saviour cares for us, despite what might happen to us, despite what might be happening to us at any moment in time. But those good people were fighting to extend my mortality. And it's perhaps a little lesson for us that we should be fighting to bring life to others who are doomed to perish, with the same caring and, you know, absolute determination that you would benefit from their ministrations. I find it rather curious to be that the two surgeons who were looking after me, one was Pakistani origin and the other was of Indian origin. But though they were presumably quite happily poking around in my innards and getting on with the job. And I understand from talking for people in medical connections that Asian surgeons have a particularly good record in dealing with soft tissue issues, which evidently is a soft tissue issue, but it doesn't feel like it at times. So, there they were, fighting for my life. So were the rest of the staff in the hospital, the specialist nurses, and so on. And they succeeded. But still there is sort of was in my mind, you know, is it wrong to cling to this mortality when we have the great hope that we have? And supplementary to that, can I still be of use to the Father and to Jesus? And then I think, as we shall be thinking later, of Jesus and his comments. If it is possible. But not your, but not my will, yours be done. And so we approach what besets us in life. And if our life is sustained, we rejoice and indeed go forward to try and fight for those we care for, those we meet with, that they too might be sustained, not only in their mortality, but have hope, as we have hope of what is to come. Nonetheless, one is wondering, one feels a little, privileged to be so blessed when there is that hope there, despite what happens at this present moment. And then there was the tremendous experience of seeing the love, the good wishes, and the prayers of many, many people, expressed in the visitors who came to see and to chat and to stay a while, the phone calls, the emails, and a massive cloud, massive pile of cards. They kept coming right through the time I was in hospital and beyond. And it's this feeling of receiving this outpouring from all these good people, many of them individuals, many couples, and even whole ecclesias signed cards and sent them. So it was all uplifting and encouraging, knowing that this care was there for you, this undeserved care, a bit like the grace of the Lord, this undeserved love was there. And it was a great encouragement and strength. And so I'm now encouraged to think, well, I've got a bit more time, possibly. Maybe not long, hopefully not long, with the return of the Lord. But I need to follow the example I received of letting folk know that you're thinking about them, letting folk know that you're praying, you're being prayed for, you're praying for them in their distress, and writing a card, sending them an email when we know that they are in need of a little encouragement, that they too in their suffering need a silver lining, maybe a golden lining might be a better expression, as to help them on their way. Quite a few of these cards had quotations on them. And I just want to briefly look through some of those verses which they sent to me and see if they can add to the feeling of receiving many blessings and much encouragement by reflecting on the particular words that they pointed out to me from the scriptures. Most of them are in the Psalms. So there's just three or four I want to look at. First of all, in Psalm 73. Yeah. Some of the aptness of this, perhaps. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And we can see the point in expressing this. It was sent from a brother who'd been through similar process. So it was all the more encouraging from that point of view as well. That he knew and understood what was needed. That God is the strength in which we live. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. And so we are encouraged in this caring sort of outlook, that as we have received, and that as we are in the hands and under the control and in the love of the Father, so we seek to express that to those we come in contact with. The next is Psalm 145, verse 18. I've got it written down this time. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their very cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. I think these words were all the more poignant because they were written, my attention was drawn to them by a sister whose husband died the next day. So there she was in her suffering, seeking to convey to me the thoughts which came to her as appropriate. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. And of course, her hopes particularly would be focused on the future at that time, in her distress. And she was saying the same things to us in these words. I say to me at times with these thoughts, this expression of love and care that came to us from these around us. But it was to us, it was to both of us, and in many times they also said, and to Sarah and Matthew as well. So they appreciated the encouragement and hope that we all needed. The other psalm that was indicated was Psalm 23. And of course, I think most of us could recite most of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so was the faith and hope of David expressed, that in the many perilous circumstances through which he went, he knew that the Lord was with him. It also reminds me of the friends of Daniel, who when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, said, even if we perish, we still have faith in our Saviour. If we don't perish, that will be enhanced. And the same is true of ourselves. Even though we might perish in our time of suffering, we still have faith and we still hope, and have hope of the grace and compassion of the love and the hope which we started off with, of resurrection, which is before us all. There was one reference in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And to think that this we can take on board as applying to ourselves is indeed amazing. That the mighty Creator will rejoice over you with gladness is almost beyond comprehension. He will quiet you by his love, similarly. That he would exult over you with loud singing. Again, all these wonderful things are ours if our faith remains. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. So, with these and many other thoughts, we were greatly encouraged and strengthened. And I pass them on in the same hope that they will be an encouragement and example before us all, as was the practical example of those who were caring for me. Another hymn that was cited to me, an anthem, was the one we shall sing shortly, 387. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. So we feel to have gone through suffering, but there has been this underlying, as it were, lining of hope and of faith and of love that has been expressed to us. And in that, we rejoice. Perhaps then, a quick look at a couple of verses from Zechariah and Revelation 2. I know basically all that we've spoken about, that the hope that we have, that the love that we share comes from our Saviour and his example of the great love we shall remember in the bread and the wine, and of his caring for us, and so on. But some specific thoughts, perhaps, first of all from Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one who weeps over a firstborn. On that day the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. And so we are reminded that the Saviour, whose death and resurrection we will remember shortly, whose first advent we have recently remembered, will soon come again, his second advent, and he will be recognised by his people, who, although they pierced him, will now look upon him and mourn, because they realised what they have done was far from what was demanded of them. And we join with them in looking on him who was pierced, and endeavour to share in his mourning, but look forward to his appearing, when he will be with us once again. And we, by his grace, whether mortal or immortal, will be with him to help him in the establishment of peace and righteousness on this earth. And in Revelation 14, there are many sevens in Revelation, and one which I might have been tempted to speak about had my exhortation been solely based on the readings for the day, are the seven blessings which occur mostly towards the end. First one, the start of the book. Blessed is he who reads and understands and acts upon the words of this book, it basically says. Then in 14, verse 12. This calls for patient endurance, on the part of the saints who obeyed God's commandments and remained faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." And so once again we are encouraged that our hope is not only, or is not, in this life, but is in the kingdom which shall come. And if we die, if our mortality comes to an end before then, we know that nonetheless they will rest from their labour and their deeds will follow them. And so we are encouraged on all aspects to remain faithful, to express that faithfulness in our caring, in our love, in our commitment to our brothers and sisters. And most of all, in our commitment to Him in whose grace we stand, our Saviour, Jesus.